Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. As the name says, we're business creators. We have entrepreneurs, small business owners, local business owners, marketing and business coaches, consultants, and mentors. The folks who help others create and grow their businesses, and on the other side of the coin, the do-it-yourselfers like to have their own hands on the levers as they run their business. If you are one or more of the above, and many of our listeners who tune in every week are all of the above, take a moment, explore episodes, discover how we help you win at the game of business and marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You can also find us on iTunes. Make sure to subscribe. Fresh content will be delivered directly to your iTunes every Tuesday on a wide variety of topics. Over 190 episodes await your media perusal, and we encourage and love five-star ratings that help us help serve more business creators just like you. So today we have a very exciting topic, and I'm pretty psyched to just sort of jump right in and get to it. Those who have been listening to the Business Creators Radio Show for a significant amount of time know that Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, has been with us a few times over the years. He's also frequently mentioned in some of our episodes, particularly some of the more recent episodes, and we're having him back today because he is doing something very remarkable, both in business and in life. And before I introduce him, there may be a few people out there who have not heard of Jim yet. Jim Palmer is a marketing expert and in-demand small business coach, founder of the Dream Business Academy and Dream Business Masterminding Coaching Program. Jim is the host of Dream Business Coach TV and the Dream Business Radio Podcast. He is a serial entrepreneur and creator of No Hassle Newsletters, No Hassle Social Media, Concierge Print and Mail On Demand, Success Advantage Publishing, Custom Article Generator, just to name a few. Jim is also the acclaimed author of 7 books, the newest of which is called Just Say Yes, Create Your Dream Business, and Live Your Dream Lifestyle. He's also the author of Decide the Ultimate Success Trigger, Stop Waiting for It to Get Easier, The Fastest Way to Higher Profits, Stick Like Glue, It's Okay to Be Scared, But Never Give Up, and The Magic of Newsletter Marketing. Now, I'm going to ask one question here, is whether or not I'm even worthy to be in this conversation with such an accomplished gentleman. Welcome aboard, Jim.
Mr. Homey, how are you, sir? What an honor to be on your show yet again.
Another great day in paradise, let me tell you. And I know that you're in the process of getting the Just Say Yes book out to the world. I believe the doors opened just yesterday for people to go pick up their copy. So we've got some pretty exciting times going on. So as we work into this, tell us just a little bit about what took you back to the author board, so to speak. You've written 6 great books. The most recent book, Decide the Ultimate Success Trigger, has been internationally acclaimed and changed a lot of lives. And after 6 books, I thought you told me you were done with books. So why this new one?
You'd think I'd learn to stop saying that. And I said that after Stop Waiting for It to Get Easier, which, if you remember, I had Kevin Harrington write the foreword. So not only was I thrilled with the book and quite honored to have a shark write the foreword, I thought, well, that's pretty good. Check off. I've authored enough books. And then I was inspired, as you know, at my event, Dream Business Academy, on multiple occasions when I teach something called Success, Money, and Mindset. And I really go deep into my own story, some of the self-limiting thoughts and beliefs, and basically everything that falls under the heading of head trash. And people at my events were saying, you need to share that stuff with a larger audience other than the people coming to your events. And that really inspired me to write Decide. And then I said, okay, I'm done. 6 books. In fact, you know, I had custom frames made, 3 books on one, 3 books on the other. They fit nicely behind my desk. So when I do video interviews, I can't write another book. I'd be all out of balance. Well, lo and behold, it was a cold January morning. I'm taking Blue out. It's about 6:00, and we are literally about 3 weeks from Dream Business Academy in Orlando. And I mean, sometimes I hate going out when it's that cold, but you know, when I see the sun coming up, and we spent the winter living on a farm, and I'm just walking blue. It's just great. And I just looked up and I said, "Thank you for this day." And I had this message, Adam. I promise it was spirit delivered. It said, "Bigger, bolder, faster." And I'm like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." Because when I'm 3 weeks from an event, as you know, it is like 24/7, full mind, fully engaged, constant business all the time. And I said, I like that. Bigger, bolder, faster. I'm going to teach that. I'm going to add that to the curriculum and teach that in 3 weeks. No, you too, Jim. Bigger, bolder, faster. You can do more. And I thought, okay, I will. And then I had, Jim, I want you to write a book about this. Make this your next book. And I said, I don't know. I'm done writing books. And basically, I promise you, I heard just say yes. And I knew that for me to argue at that point would be ridiculous because in 6 months I'd end up doing it anyway. So I made a commitment to write this book called Just Say Yes. And the original subtitle in my head was Bigger, Bolder, Faster. But I started literally, I think it was February 15th. I took a week off after Dream Business Academy. I started writing in 30 days. The book just poured out of me. And which really, I mean, it was really, spirit inspired. And what I did, Adam, is I told so many stories in the book, as you know, I know you've read it, but I told stories about both in life and in business. We need to, if we're going to play a bigger and bolder game, we need to step up. And what that means is you can't wait for everything to be fully aligned. All the stars, you know, the tides, everything cannot, you can't know every next step you're going to take. You know, the expression I use in this book, which I heard someone say, is you got to jump and spread your wings on the way down. And that's where a lot of success comes from, is saying yes, even though I don't know where I'm going, even though I don't know the next two or three steps, this is what I want, I'm going to go for it. And I'll figure it out as I go. And again, I said it's a very much a life and a business mantra.
Yeah, and we're going to come back to the idea of jumping and spreading your wings on the way down, because that's a topic that's been up for debate, whether or not that's the right approach. We hear all kinds of different things. So we're going to bookmark that for a few moments, because I think it'll be more helpful for our listeners if we get some background information first that leads us up to that. So inside,
okay.
Just Say Yes, you talk about the what ifs holding most entrepreneurs back from achieving higher levels of success. So what do you mean by the what ifs?
The what ifs. So let's say you get an idea to either write a book, start a business, add a new location, add a new service. Maybe you want to move out to Las Vegas from Pittsburgh. You get this great idea,
uh-huh.
or you want to sell your house and move on to a boat, you know, at 58
yeah.
years old, you know, and all. So you get excited, and then guess what happens? Reality sets in. Your mindset, everything you've been taught about being prudent and safe, and maybe this won't work out. So your mind will start playing the what if games. Now, you know, I will admit, you know this, the last 3 or 4 years have been really, really good. We've been very blessed, and I really enjoy what I'm doing, helping other entrepreneurs grow a dream business. It's very rewarding in every way possible. But, you know, truth be told, I've been a little bit on autopilot. It seems to come naturally to me. I enjoy doing it. So I haven't really had to step outside my comfort zone and really face any fears in the last several years. And so when Stephanie got this idea about us going on a big adventure, and then when we decided to live on a boat, first of all, I couldn't find any financial planner who said at 58 years old, you want to sink your money into a big boat. That's like the
right.
least financially responsible thing to do. So basically, as excited as I was, and even though we agreed on the financial package, my mind starts playing the what-if game, Adam. It's like, well, what if I don't know how to drive a 50-foot boat? What if I hit somebody? What if I run aground? What if I run out of gas? What if the thing breaks down? And I don't know, all these different scenarios. And I ended up, Steph and I were reading a bunch of books from other people who sold houses and became liveaboards is the term. And this one guy said, you know what? The reason a lot more people don't say yes and actually – go ahead and move forward and move on the boat, because it seems to be a romantic dream for a lot of people, is they envision all these what-if scenarios. And the bottom line is, if you don't say yes, you're gonna regret it. Life is full of regrets. When you get to the end of your life, you're not going to regret things you did. You're going to regret things you didn't do. And he said to me, well, in the book, he goes, What happens if you do run out of gas and you figure that out? What happens if you do hit somebody else's boat and you make amends? Every day you're going to wake up with a new challenge or a new problem or something to fix or overcome. And he said, what if you find out you're really a badass boat driver and you go on the adventure of a lifetime? That's why you should say yes. So there was that say yes, and I read that like back in November or December. Little did I know how powerful that would be. And I think about how that applies in business. You know, as an entrepreneur, when I said yes about 5 years ago to starting my own podcast, you were right there with me. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I've interviewed people, but, you know, what if I stammer and what if it sounds crappy and what if people go, what a hunk of crap? You know, your mind starts playing all these what ifs. Well, what if I'm actually a good interviewer? What if people like coming on my show? What if I actually provide value with the content that I'm putting out there in form of the podcast? And the same thing with videos. And by the way, the biggest hurdle I had to overcome with my own head trash was doing my own live events. You know, when you rent a room in a hotel, a meeting space, you got to guarantee a certain number of sleeping rooms that are be sold. You've got to spend a certain amount of money for food and beverage. It's not an inexpensive proposition. And so what if nobody comes? You're on the hook for all of that. What if everybody comes that you expect is following you, and you get up there and you talk for 2 hours and then you freeze and you got nothing else to say for 2 days? You know, there's a lot of head trash that goes on. And when I said yes to creating the Dream Business Academy, every single day for about 8 months, I would think of another thing that I had to do, create, challenge, and I just tackled it one at a time. And it turns out I'm pretty good at it. People like it. We've sold out, I think, so far. In September will be our seventh. So the point is, I never look to figure everything out. You know, if I can give me two more minutes here. When Steph and I, as you and I are doing the interview here, you know, we drove our boat from Maryland to Rhode Island, which was 450 miles. The furthest I ever drove, perfect timing, which was a 30-foot boat, was an hour and a half on the Chesapeake Bay. We were out in the ocean bobbing around. We suffered a little bit of damage, and we were scared as crap on a couple of occasions, like, holy smokes, water's billowing over the bow, hitting the windshield like two stories up. And there were different things. And when we pull into New York Harbor, I was warned that the water taxis that go back and forth to the Statue of Liberty and to all the different things, those guys are just the same as the taxis in New York. They don't give a crap who you are, so you've got to stay out of their way. There's tons of shipping boats going back and forth, and I've never been there, and we're figuring it out. I have Steph, like, I said, where am I going? Where's the next buoy? But you know what? We said yes, and when we got to Rhode Island, Adam, and we had, you know, spent like 5 days getting up here, and, you know, we said, I cannot believe we just did that. And the only other option for doing it was not doing it, because we would have said, well, what if we don't know how to do this? What if we get in the way of a barge? What if we get hit by a water taxi? What if? So that's the what ifs are what stops people from achieving greatness in their life.
Yeah, and that's a good reframe that you're giving us. What if things work out beyond our wildest dreams? You know, you mentioned yourself, you're 58 years old, your wife recently retired from her career, and you're starting this new adventure, being out on a boat, just saying yes to a new adventure. And what's really cool about that is, I remember a couple weeks ago, you sailed up to Warwick, Rhode Island, which is where your daughter, your son-in-law, and two of your grandchildren live. So you're living the dream of the grandparents who get to travel around visiting the kids just throughout the year. Except you're doing it in grand style.
Yeah, we both said that if we're going to live on a boat, I'm too old to go camping. I don't want to rough it. I mean, this is a hell of a nice boat. We're very basically two bedroom, two baths. We can be out anywhere. It has a generator that runs everything on the boat, including three zone heating, air conditioning, refrigerator, ice maker. I mean, it's a beautiful boat. But the reason we did that, first of all, we recognized the type of life that we wanted to have, and we didn't want to feel like, man, this is okay, get out of my way, I'm coming through, you go this way, I'll go this way. This is our home. And it actually, we lived on the boat for 2 weeks before we kind of cast off in Maryland and headed north. And so there was a few kinks we worked out, some different things, but we sit on this boat every single day. I kind of end my day around 6 and usually have a nice, you know, Steph makes dinner, and we'll sit there. We don't even turn on the TV that much because we were just looking out at the water and the houses by the bay and stuff. And it's like, my God, this is our life. It still hasn't sunk in yet. But if, again, we are able to live this life, first of all, because I said yes, worked my tail end off for a number of years, created my dream business, which now allows us to live the life that we choose to live. It's pretty cool, I must admit. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it's possible when you say yes.
Yeah, and I know people who have embraced the lifestyle known as digital nomadism, where they can run a business through a laptop, and they literally travel around the world living in hostels and camping, as you said. Now, me personally, I'm very happy to go camping as long as it's in a nice, permanent structure with a solid floor. I just was not born to lay on the ground. I love the outdoors as a place to visit, but I want to live inside a structure. And we know people. I know a couple, and you know a couple actually, who have, you know, each of us knows a couple. In other words, I know a husband and wife, and you know a husband and wife who have embraced the lifestyle. I don't know the technical name of it, but it's the idea that you sell your house and you travel around the country in an RV.
It's the mobile version of tiny house living. I'll tell you, one of the biggest challenges for me was actually not driving the boat, getting in and out of a slip, which is no easy task because the boat is very tall. And I, you know, coming up here, we docked, we stayed a couple nights at different places. One night when we pulled into a marina, it was 35 mile an hour winds, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm lined up, I'm getting ready to back in, and next thing you know, I'm two slips over. That's how quickly the wind can move even a big boat. And but one of the biggest challenges for me was figuring out how to always have Wi-Fi on the boat, because as much as Stephanie and I said, this is our lifestyle, and obviously I talk about it a lot, it's part of my brand and marketing, I did not want my chosen lifestyle to impact the way I work with my clients. So if I need to take a call, or if I'm doing interviews and they're over video or Skype, I don't want to say, oh, I don't got Wi-Fi. So I figured that out. That's one thing I belabored over for like 60 days and figured out how to put a big cell tower antenna on my boat, and I got wireless Wi-Fi through my carrier, and I got it figured out. So no matter where I am, I can do a call, and so that was one thing that was really important to me. When you have a certain lifestyle, you know, some people go, oh, I'm going off the grid. I don't know if anybody ever does that. It makes a good talking point, but just because this is how I want to live, at least Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, when I do all my calls, there will be no interruptions based on my chosen lifestyle.
Yeah, see, and you really have it figured out. So, and what I've always loved about you in the 11 years that I've known you is how organized you are. You start your day very early in the morning, which I've slowly gotten better at. And, I mean, there have been times where I've been getting ready to sign off at night, and I'd email you, and you'd write back. But, see, it was the beginning of your day at the end of mine. Now that we're three time zones apart, that happens even more often, which is hilarious. But I love how you've made what your dream support your life. You just said yes to that. And, you know, I've noticed from the many different levels of relationship that we have, both business and personal, that the only thing that's different is you live on a boat. As far as my interactions with you, your ability to communicate with your audience, our ability to get things done, it's exactly the same. So that's one thing that we need to bear in mind.
And my friend, that is not by accident. When Steph and I were motoring up here, we set sail on a Friday. That was the scheduled day. Turned out we couldn't leave till Saturday. Then it turns out we were stuck in Cape May, New Jersey because of high winds for 3 days. I had planned, I booked myself off my calendar, which means I did not have coaching time available that Tuesday and Wednesday of that week. But I said, we'll be there by Tuesday or Wednesday, and I can schedule calls on Thursday. Well, it turns out we had several calls on Thursday, but yet Thursday had to be our final day traveling to get here because there was a storm approaching Friday. So when we got to port on Wednesday night, I had Steph contact everybody and said, we'll keep the same times, but we just need to move a day forward. Can we, Jim, do all the calls, which is normally no call Friday? And they go, well, I thought you don't do calls Friday. Well, we're going to do them this Friday because we're going to be underway tomorrow. And if we don't get up there, we're going to be stuck somewhere for 3 days. So, and everybody, of course, said yes. We got into port like 2 o'clock on Thursday, and that next day I worked all day doing my coaching call. So, I could have just said, you know what, reschedule, but I didn't. I'm just very, very – that's the whole stick like glue, Mars training. It's all about the customers. You are in business to serve your customers.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely remarkable. Now, with this new book, Just Say Yes, how do you envision that this book and your main message about just saying yes will propel someone to achieve more, whether it's business, life, hobbies, what have you?
One of the things that I think is really powerful, and not only do I know it as a marketing and business building in life strategy, but I have personally learned and benefited from this, is by listening and learning from the stories of others. You know, I think there's a couple ways that you can take in information. You can say, I've heard this is a good idea, I know people who do this, but I like to listen to and learn from people who actually do what it is they profess to have some expertise in, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of people out there who are professed experts and, you know, I can help you build a $1 million business, and they haven't even built one six-figure business. So my point is that this book is full of stories. I learned something. I want to share this real quick. One of the books I read about a year ago was by Gene Simmons, the bass player of Kiss. I've been a Kiss fan since high school. I graduated high school in 76 during the whole Kiss thing. And I've admired what an entrepreneur he is and how much he's done. And he put out this book called Me, Inc. And there was one chapter in the book, Adam, where he talked about, it was basically, I'll paraphrase, so what's holding you back? You know what? I wanted to be a musician. Did I want to be a musician to be a musician? No, I wanted to get girls. Did I learn how to read music? No, I just created a band. Then I became a producer. Did I go to school to be a producer? No, I just said I'm a producer and I figured it out. And he went down this list. He said, I wanted to start my own marketing company because, you know what, I'm great at marketing. So I did, and they do like hundreds of millions of dollars a year. He said, I then wanted to become a professional speaker. He actually spoke at a Glazer Kennedy event. And he said, you know, how much – and he went to the best speaking bureau, and they said, how much do you want to get? He goes, I want to get like $250,000 a speech. He goes, well, our highest paid person gets like $37,000 or something like that. He goes, all right, you're fired. He booked himself, and he gets $250,000. And he just goes on and on. He gave about 15 or 20 examples of things he did. Now he's an author, never went to school for writing, just like me. And he named all this stuff, and he said, you know what? I don't think that he said just say yes. That's obviously my mantra these days. He said, I'm just going to do it. I'll figure it out. And if I'm not good at it, I'll ask somebody and they'll show me and I'll keep going. And I thought how interesting that was. In one chapter of the book, Adam, I did the retrospective that he kind of detailed. I went all the way back to my first job when I was 15, and I moved forward to present day. And I looked at how many times I said yes without knowing what I was doing. Without having any expertise, all I knew is I wanted to do something. I said yes, and I learned to figure it out. All the way through my career, when I was at Bikeline and we started franchising that business, the owner asked me, can you put together a two-week training program with manuals so we can teach our new franchisees? I said, yes, I can. I've never done that in my life. And there were so many examples where if you just say yes and figure it out as you go, those are generally the people who are going to have more success.
Okay, this is a good time to pick up the bookmark that I mentioned earlier. You hear things like, as you say, and just say yes, jump and spread your wings on the way down. We've also heard when a great opportunity comes up, say yes and figure out how to do it later, where I'm paraphrasing Sir Richard Branson. And then I can take a direct quote from the same gentleman, Sir Richard Branson, where he says, screw it, let's do it.
Yeah.
We hear a counterpoint to that, which is, how do you know you're not going to land and just go splat once you fall off the cliff? How do you know it's going to work out? And isn't that kind of dangerous, where you end up making investments in things without knowing if they're going to work out, and then you end up with all this debt that you need to pay off? So what I think may be happening, and I want to get your thoughts on this because you live this, is what was I going to say here? There's a counterpoint to that, which is you need to make sure that you at least have an idea of what you're doing. What do you say to somebody who brings that to you, because I believe that there may be a valid counterpoint to that whole thing, where, you know, it's great to just say yes, but then what if you have no idea what the heck you're doing? I mean, somebody could look at what you just said and say, yeah, man, your boat could sink in the middle of nowhere, and then what? Where are you?
Well, we've sort of thought that out, but I'll come back to that in a minute. You know, I was intrigued by the way you asked the question. Couldn't you just splat? Well, absolutely you could. I mean, literally, when I had an opportunity to start my second business, it was actually my third business called No Hassle Marketing. It was going to be the umbrella corporation to all of the No Hassle things I was creating. And I started as a partner. And we basically were really good friends. We thought we'd get along, but we said what's more important than anything is our friendship, and most of these don't work out. We went into it knowing that. So first of all, we invested about $2,000 with an attorney to draft the partnership papers, who would do what, who'd be responsible for what. If somebody wants to buy out, how do we do that? If we want to fold it, we had everything laid out. Long story short, we did it for almost a year. Turns out it was not going to work. We both agreed this is not a good business. We ended up losing about $20,000, but we're really good friends today because we did it the right way, right? And then one of the things I figured out is that we didn't know. So you say, well, couldn't you go splat? Well, yes, you can. I mean, how do you know when you jump out of a plane for the first time, even though you've had lessons in parachute school, how do you know that parachute's going to open? Well, you don't. And that's obviously life and death right there. But in business, yeah, it's seldom life and death. How did I know that when I said I'm going to put on my own live event, and I look at how many followers I got in social media, I look at the size of my list, I look at all these different things and say, can I put 50 people in a room? I should be able to, but crap, what if those are all fake and phony and people just say, oh, yeah, I like you, I follow you, whatever, and they won't put up. You know, they won't put up the $500 or for whatever we charge for a ticket back then. I don't remember. And what if I end up losing my shirt? And you know what it comes down to? What if I do? You know, one of the things that I learned many, many years ago, I took the Dale Carnegie program, and one of the books they have is How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And one of the strategies in that book was figure out what's the worst case scenario, be okay, prepare to accept it, and then work like a dog so it doesn't happen. And so I figured at my first event, I went to a smaller hotel. I was going to be on the hook for about $7,500. If nobody came and I still had to fulfill my end of my obligations, I was going to be on the hook for would I like to lose $7,500? Hell no. Could I survive it? Hell yes. And I'd figure out a way to do it again. Most people don't want to take the risk because they want everything to be figured out. Well, here's the deal. You know, Fred Smith started Federal Express. He had no idea if it was going to work. He had a burning desire in his belly. He knew it would work. He was willing to risk millions and millions of dollars until the thing did work. Most people would carve out. I just thought of a quick story. You know, when we were driving up here, Steph was doing Facebook Live. I think we did about 2 or 3 hours of Facebook Live, which was actually pretty fun. Somebody that follows me on social media says, hey, can Jim give us some marketing advice, right? And I said, what the hell? I'm driving, but I can talk. And he ended up giving me some advice. And I ended up giving him some advice, Adam. One of the things he says to me was, how do I know when it's time to stop? I've been doing this 5 years. It's not working. I said, well, if you want to stop, stop. But realize that's the end. When you pull the plug, it's over. I happen to believe there is always a way. There's always a way to figure it out. Now, what I said to him, the caveat is, if what you do, if the service you're providing has great value and there's an audience that needs it, right? I mean, you can't just say, boy, I like to cut lawns with scissors, so the thing is incredible. That may be your passion, but there's nobody going to hire you to cut lawn with scissors. I'm being silly to make a point. Then right, you don't have a business. And I said, I don't want to know what you do because we're going out Facebook Live, but do you think there's a market for what your service you're offering? He says, yes, there is. I said, then you're just not reaching the people who are willing to buy it. He goes, and his next question was this. He goes, well, what's a good free source to get good customers? I said, that's the worst question you could ask, because if it's free, everybody would be doing it, and there'd be no such thing as risk. Everybody would, you know, I said, if you need to believe in your heart, mind, and soul, and every fiber of your being that what you're doing is valuable, and it's going to provide incredible value for the people that you're going to serve, then you've got to invest. You have to go out there and spend money, invest money, and draw the eyeballs to you, a.k.a. prospective clients, and then you got to close them. I said, once you do that, man, then you start paying off the money you borrowed, and you keep going from there. But if you're just trying to put out a book and think, man, I do want your $10,000 program, I said, that's not going to work. And then I said to him, I wonder if he's going to listen to your show, but I won't obviously not say his name. But I said, you know what's a great investment that's not a lot of money? He goes, what? I said, he lives within driving distance of Rhode Island. I said, in September, you ought to come to my event. And I mean this with all sincerity. I'm not just trying to sell a ticket. If you come to my event, I know what the ticket price is. I know how much it'll cost you for 3 nights in a hotel. When you come to my event, I buy you lunch all 3 days, and I take you to a kick-butt dinner. I said, you're going to get such an education, you won't even believe it. And I totally believe that. And I said, I bet you can do the whole thing for less than $1,000. And he goes, yeah, I just don't have $1,000. And at that point, I looked at Steph, and I said, I'm done. I mean,
yeah.
There's no guarantees. Come on. Take the shot.
You know what? You're just reminding me of something. You remember about a year and a half ago, because I'm a member of the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program, and again, I'm not going to give any specifics too, because for the exact same reason, the people involved are friends of mine, and they do occasionally tune into the show. And we're all friends and everything, but I just don't want to dredge this up too much. I had this opportunity to invest in something locally here in Las Vegas, and when I brought it to the group, on one of our group coaching calls during the profit seat, pretty much every single person on the call and you said that the best thing I could do is turn around and run away from it because it was a bad idea. Maybe you didn't use those exact words, but there was a very strong don't do it vibe going on in the room. But something was telling me, no, wait a minute, this is actually really good. I went and I did 14 points of due diligence. You may recall that I posted the 14 points inside the discussion group. I even went to my prospective partner on this thing. I said, look, I ran this by my mastermind, and I realized it's a good idea that I want to get some questions answered. He answered all 14 questions to my satisfaction in a way that I felt was genuine and honest and no bullshit, went ahead with the opportunity. And then this other thing happened about 3 months later that had nothing to do with him and nothing to do with me, that nothing could have been foreseen or done anything about, and it just turned out to be not the best thing in the world. So I ended up down about $5,000 as a result of it, not the end of the world. And I know that in about 2 years, something else is going to come up that $5,000 is going to be applied to. We're just waiting for certain other things to happen to make that possible. Again, I'm sorry I can't get into any specifics, but you reminded me that I kind of took the screw it, let's do it approach to something. I did a little due diligence. I looked out to protect myself a little based on some feedback. But you remember me coming back to the group saying, you know what, guys, thanks for the advice, but I'm doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, so a couple of important lessons. Did run it by your peers and trusted advisors, of which we all are for each other. And in the end, I mean, we all get to make the call. You know, it's interesting when you say you go for advice. I remember, last summer when Steph and I were starting to put this idea into action. It's been almost a year since we said yes, and then when we actually did it. And I remember we were sitting in a meeting with our financial advisors, and I remember talking to my CPA and told him we're going to do. And he goes, "Wait, how much is that boat?" He goes, "You're 58. How many more years are you going to work?" And all these different questions. And the bottom line is nobody endorsed the idea. Everybody thought how awesome the idea would be, but it is not. At my age, I plan to work because I like doing what I'm doing. But at 58, almost 59 years old, the least safe thing you can do with your money is buy a boat. And so I think that's a good example. Everybody said, "Wow, why don't you just rent one, lease one, do this?" But you know what? This is what we're gonna do. And I got a great deal on this boat, and we take care of our stuff. And I really believe that in 3 years or 5 years, depending when Steph and I say, okay, that's good, we're done, I believe that's my goal, that I'm going to be able to sell this boat and come out of it having had a great adventure without having to take a bath. That's my plan. It's possible. and I'll have to do a few more DBAs if that's the result. But, you know,
right.
It's really good. I'm not – when I say just say yes, I'm not saying, you know, screw it and do it. I'm saying, yeah, you've got – we've spent a year doing due diligence and putting everything in place to make this successful. And, you know, sometimes – there's another chapter which – I know time's running out, but there's a chapter called Seesaws. And what that means is when you say yes to something, very often, especially as an entrepreneur, you have to say no to something else. And it's like that in life, too. When we said yes to living on the boat here in Rhode Island for the summer, what we had to say no to was living close to one of our grandsons when my other daughter moved back to Pennsylvania. So, and in business, if I say yes, I'm going to do this, that means I might not be able to pay attention to something to another one of my businesses. So there's this seesaw effect where if you're sitting on one end of a seesaw and there's no counterbalance, you're down, right? So you always have to have a counterbalance with some of your decisions.
Yeah, and I think what happens way too often is advice is given to do things like jump and spread your wings on the way down, or screw it, let's do it, or say yes and figure out how to do it later, but they just don't give you the proper framework through which to make such a decision. And even if you are, you know, boldly and impulsively taking it by the reins and just making it happen, there still is a level of due diligence, and there still is a level of being smart about it. It's not like you just say yes to the first random thing and leap off the cliff and hope your wings sprout. And I think that's what we're looking to see you accomplish, and I think you have accomplished a lot of that with the Just Say Yes book, which is to give people the proper framework for jumping and spreading your wings on the way down. So what I'd like to do now is go back to go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Adam.
Okay. I was going to say, now what I'd like to do is, having read your book, go back to chapter one, where you spoke about your journey going all the way back to your first job when you were 15 years old. Now, why do you feel that that was important, and what should our listeners learn from that?
When I was 15, I lived in a small town, and I wanted to have a car because I wanted to get around. I wanted to date and things like that. I wanted to buy records. Back then it was records and 8-tracks. But I needed to have a job. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, so my dad, you know, carried the household kind of like, you know, we did, Steph and I. And so, I didn't have any generous allowance, so my dad said, you want money, go get a job. So the closest business to the high school where I went that I could walk to was a bicycle store, and I walked in and said, do you need any help? He said, I need a mechanic. Can you work on bikes? I said, sure, I can. And I started doing it. He goes, you've never done this before, after he saw me. I said, no, but I'm a quick learner. And he taught me. I mean, that really started a 25-year career in the bike business. But each time I basically, at a couple of my jobs, became probably, that was going to sound weird, but probably the most valued employee because I never said no. I've always worked for entrepreneurial companies, and whenever the owner needed something, I said, I'll do it. And I said yes to everything. I ended up running the whole National Franchise Corporation for Bike Line and all these different things because I always figured I could do it. I'll learn it. I'll figure it out. All these different things. How to read a chart. How to look at the electronics and know where we are. I've been studying. I've been reading. I've watched YouTube. I am willing to learn and school myself. I'm not going to say no because I actually believe there's always a way to do that. And so I felt, again, I think one of the first questions you asked is about the book. I said, I tell tons of stories. The reason I like telling stories is because people tell me that they read my books and they go, that's just like me. Yeah, I've done that. I can see that. And I think storytelling is a really, really cool way to learn because people, I could never write a textbook, for example, because I just don't know how to do that. But I know how to tell stories, and I really think of all the books that I've done, the first, you know, five books were very strategic, tactical, great marketing and business books. Decide was decidedly a mindset book because that's really the linchpin of how much success you're going to achieve. I think this book, it's my guess, if we'll talk 6 months from now, this book will be the most inspirational and motivational book that I put out. So I think I feel pretty good about it. I think I'm covering the gambit on the different styles of books.
Yeah, and I agree with that, having read all seven of your books, including the Just Say Yes book. You know, it's funny, you know, you wanted to get your first job when you were 15, and when I was 15, I couldn't wait to turn 16. I wanted to start driving right away, I wanted to get a car, and I wanted to get a job. And the motivations in some ways were similar to your motivations. I hated the clothes that my parents wanted to buy for me. I wanted to wear nice, stylish clothes. I wanted to go, I'm dating myself here, but I wanted to buy my clothes from the merry-go-round, which was a very big retail deal back in the early 1990s. That's what I wanted to wear, but my parents wouldn't buy it for me. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go get a job. I'll buy my own stuff. And then they tried to say, you don't have to buy your own clothes. I said, the reason you don't want to buy me nice clothes is because you're trying to save up for your contribution to help me go to college. So if I go get a part-time job and I buy my own clothes, doesn't that give you more money to help and also some more for yourself to do what you want to do? They didn't agree with that, but in practice they went along with it. So when you show that, to me what that showed me is when you show the ambition, you show the drive, and you show the willingness to go out there and do things, that'll attract an energy around you that'll cause people to want to follow, because people like momentum and people like forward motion. That was just my take off of it, and this is me looking back 25 years after the fact with literally a lifetime of experience to help me understand what was going on.
Well, I don't know if you realize it or not, but you were a great seed planter way back then, because the way you described it, if it was even close to what you just said, you planted the seed that by me buying my own clothes, you're going to pay more to my college. I don't know if that's a conversation you had, or you were subliminally planting that thought, which was pretty funny.
You know what? I actually wasn't thinking at that level at the time, although I did pretty much use those exact words. I just wanted to get them off my back, really. So I was trying to say something what my thought process at the time was, let me say something that makes it sound like I'm super mature and ultra responsible about things, and that I'm doing it for the greater good, not for me, but for them. That was what was going through my mind at the time. Now that you mention it, that was basically a form of seed planting, or what you like to call seed-based marketing. And what I was selling was, hey, guys, I really want to have a job, and I want to have a car.
Yeah, you know what? Somehow your parents are always smarter than you, especially when you're 16, 17, or 18. They know what your ulterior motives are.
Yeah, right. So in the book, let's jump ahead to chapter 6, and I know that our listeners are waiting for us to get to the point where we say where you can go buy the book. And I love chapter 6. It's called Seesaw's Leapfrog and Being Childlike. So how does that relate to being a small business owner, being childlike?
Absolutely. When you think of a child, maybe people listening have a child or a grandchild, or maybe they are a child. Children have this innate sense that anything is possible. They can do anything they want, whether it's going to climb a tree. Sure, I'm going to jump in the lake. I'm not worried about drowning, or whatever it is. There's a childlike there's an innate sense that everything is possible. And I really think that whether you become a business owner at 18 or 38 or 58, when you start a business, I really believe you possess some of that childlike inspiration, motivation, or feeling that, yeah, hell yeah, I'm gonna do this. And one of my points is when you start to have some success, whatever that looks like for you, cash flow is no longer an issue. Maybe you got a few employees. Life is good. Maybe you've got a staff. Maybe you actually have rent now. Whatever that looks like, your business is starting to mature. And one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs do when that happens, and that could be 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, is different for everybody. But when that starts to happen, we start making more cautious decisions. Well, let's say there's an opportunity that presents itself today, and then maybe 5 years down the road, something similar would happen. If you're a new entrepreneur and you're like, you know, pardon the expression, balls to the wall, I'm going to make this happen, you know, you're more likely to do it. But 5 years down the road, you start maturing in your business. You go, I don't know, that seems a little risky to me. My big point is the people that continue to grow. You mentioned Sir Richard Branson. I mean, that guy is like a kid in a candy store with all of his businesses. Anything is possible. And, you know, he jumps. I mean, he may be the epitome of jumping and not worrying about splatting. I mean, think of how many virgin businesses he's had. They don't all work, but doggone it, he's got an idea. He's going to go out there and try it. What's the worst that happens? I lose a little bit of money, and I turn around and do another idea. That is what I think is like childlike ambition.
Yeah, and, you know, you see people like Sir Richard Branson, and the same thing could be argued about our current president and a number of other people in their business careers, where it seemed like they would hit these catastrophic losses. You know, Richard Branson, he's lost businesses. Donald Trump lost the airline, the AFL, and the casinos. But it's like they're missing a gene. I saw this in a documentary. The guys like this and women like this, there's something in their genetics that's just not there. It's that gene that says, whoa, 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 you lost a lot of money on this, or you had a big failure with this. You got to stop. You got to play smaller. You can't be going on investing in this next new thing. No, 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 no. Smarten up.
Now,
and
you know
I'd like
that
to
is.
Say, and I like to say, okay, you know what? You go ahead. You're going to say something better than I would.
You know, Adam, and I teach this in that section I mentioned earlier about money and success. If you believe that money is limited, that you could even think, I'm going to earn a nice living, but there's not too much, and you start protecting it and hoarding it and things like that. You make decisions based on the fact that there's a limited supply of money, and I'm only going to risk a little bit because I don't want to run out of money. That's the difference. If you think of Sir Richard Branson or some of these other, you know, Bezos and some of these other guys and gals.
That's another example.
Those guys know that there is a limitless supply of money if you provide enough value.
Right.
I learned that lesson, and I talked about it in Serve First, which I kind of blended into one of the chapters in this book. It's like when you give money philanthropically, or whether you call it tithing, whatever you say, if you give money away and you think about, well, I can only give this much. If you give money away or you pick up the tab, let's say you go to lunch and doggone it, instead of your friend, he brings three other people, and you were going to pick up your friend. Well, maybe you pick up all three, and you do that because you know it's not a big deal. There's more than enough money, and it's a good thing. When you believe that money is not limited and there is more to be earned, that's the gene that they have. So sure, they could lose a crap load of money, but you know what? They can make more. They print more money all
time.
Right?
Right.
What you can't get more of is time. So if you're sitting on the sidelines waiting for everything to happen, every day that goes by is a day that you cannot replace and you cannot get back. You can always earn more money.
Yeah, and you know, going back to what I was saying earlier about the missing gene, you know, the gentleman I mentioned, and you also threw in Jeff Bezos, and we could go on all day long with they put themselves out and they take these big catastrophic losses, and then people laugh at them saying, "Huh, I thought you were so smart, and you lost $100 million on an airline or a football team or whatever it was," and then you see them going on, they're doing something else. Just pick up and do something else. And I've been arguing for a long time that it would be nice if they could take a little bit of that. I hate to use the phrase redistribute, but if they could take a little bit of that genetic mix from some of your leading entrepreneurs and the people who have the big wins and the big losses and just keep going, and give that to entrepreneurs who find themselves afraid to just say yes because they got burned a little bit the first time, we'd have a lot more successful people out there.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not reality, and that's not life. Life. Some people say life is unfair. Well, it is unfair if you don't go out there and you know, create your own thing. The thing about, you know, 80% of small businesses fail within the first 5 years, that's one statistic that's been borne out generation after generation. But, the people who are high earners, and if you just want to talk about the top 1%, those are people that are willing to do things. And I don't just mean do things like become a speaker, author, whatever it is. Those are people willing to take their chips and push them into the middle of the table and bet on themselves to win big.
Oh, yeah.
Big bets. Big bets produce big wins. It can also produce a big loss. But I guarantee you, nobody that struck it really, really big, none of those people risked small. They don't play small ball. So if you think, well, I'm gonna do some Facebook ads and I'm gonna spend $5 a day. Well, for heaven's sakes, I know some people who spend $1,000 and $15,000 a day on Facebook. And you know why they do that? It seems like a crap ton of money, and it is. The reason they would spend $15,000 a day or a week on Facebook ads is because they probably bring in $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 in new revenue because of it. But you can't bring in $30,000, $50,000 or $100,000 in revenue spending $5 a day. No way.
Yeah, the ROI is just way off. And you talk about it, Dream Business Academy, and in many of your books, the idea of the casino entrepreneur, the one who pushes their chips in, goes all in. That's why I was saying,
right.
Yeah, when you were saying that.
And you know, you
played
said,
a little poker
they,
in my life, yeah.
Yeah, and you say, why can't they redistribute some of the genes? I understand what you're saying there, but the fact of the matter is, everybody has the genes. And I liken this to a packet of seeds. I demonstrated this at my last event. I gave every person in the room a packet of wildflower seeds, which look really nice on the cover. And I said, everybody in this room has seeds of greatness within them, but you have to endure what a seed has to endure before it turns into a beautiful field of flowers. I'll be really, really brief. That packet of seeds left unopened is potential beauty. It's just potential. If you don't open that pack of seeds, that pack of seeds can sit in your kitchen cupboard or on your desk for 20 years, and it's still good. It's still the same potential. But if you want it to become, if you want those seeds to become a beautiful field of wildflowers, you got to open the packet. You got to till the soil. You got to stick those seeds in the dirt. They got to be watered. They got to be cold. They're going to feel crappy. They're going to feel like, oh my God, where's all my friends? And they're going to go through some crap. They're going to put manure on them maybe. In other words, they're going to go through a period of crap in order to blossom and be a beautiful field of flowers. It's no different as an entrepreneur. If you think you're going to open your business and then have a six- or seven-figure business without going through some crap and experiencing some hard times, that is not DNA. That's not the code of life. You have to be willing to say yes. You have to just say yes. I'm willing. You know, you watch me when I created No Hassle Social Media, I worked for almost 4 months straight, like seriously, 4 a.m. to 10, and I created that business. It still runs today pretty much on autopilot, but I had to put in those 4 months still doing my job during the day but building that thing. And, you know, not everybody's willing to do that. Well, goodness, American Idol's on, No way. You have to be willing to put in the work and go through some crap. And if you're lucky enough and fortunate enough and you do it right and you just say yes, you can grow a dream business. Everybody has seeds of greatness. I truly believe that. Not everybody's willing to open the packet and endure some time period of crap.
Yeah, that's all very true. So we have about 7 minutes left here. The time is really flying, and this is great. And I want to, we've talked about casino entrepreneurs and all kinds of things. I want to close by saying the F word, or maybe two F words. Chapter 2 of your book is titled The Two F Words. What might those words be?
Well, anybody that knows me know the one word you're thinking of is not it.
Right.
So the two F words are fear and forgiveness. Most of the things which cause people not to say yes are fear-based. What's going to happen? All the what-ifs. What if my family disrespects me? What if my husband, wife, spouse, anybody else that's supporting me says, oh, my God, you're cut off, no more. All the what-ifs, and those are all fear-based. Uh-huh. What if I start doing videos and people say, my God, you're ugly. You got a big nose. You got a funny voice. What the hell's going on with you? I mean, all those things fall under the big umbrella of fear. We could do a whole show on the different types of fear. The other F-word, though, Adam, is forgiveness. Forgiveness is really based with when people have regret for inaction, regret for mistakes they've made, regret for opportunities they did not seize upon. They think about that, and it just festers in their mind and in their heart and in their gut, and regret, it tastes like crap, to be honest with you. And but there is a thing that I know a lot about forgiveness, biblically, and it's usually more about you than it is forgiving the other person. But when I talk with entrepreneurs, and sometimes I have to dig deep, and I find out that they've just spent a year either working with the wrong person, they invested with a website company that screwed them, whatever it is, they feel bad, and that's holding them back from moving forward. I say, listen, you can't change the past, but starting today, you can change your ending, and you have to let go of all of these things that are holding you back in terms of regret. I said, you have to forgive yourself. In the book, I give a physical way that you can do that to actually release and let go. And I've shared this with a lot of my clients, and I describe it in the book. But when you do this physical thing that I'm describing in the book, and you say, okay, this is it, no more am I going to think about this, it's very powerful. It becomes very spiritual in a way. But you will forgive yourself and actually congratulate yourself from forgetting where you are today. From where you were to where you are today, all mistakes aside, not many people have the cojones to actually start a business. So congratulate yourself for getting yourself where you are right now. Forgive yourself for all those bad decisions you made, whether it was a $100 decision because you bought the wrong version of QuickBooks, or if it was, you know, $10,000 because you started a bad business, whatever. Forgive yourself and move forward, knowing those are lessons, and doggone it, you can replace any of that. So that's the two F words in a nutshell.
Yeah, and as I say, because one of my other mentors taught me this, three very powerful words, up until now. It allows you to draw a line under what's happened up until this point without passing judgment, owning it, acknowledging it, gaining the lessons from it, but moving forward in a new direction, following a new path. Without judging yourself, beating yourself up. And I found that to be a very important lesson. We talk about fear and forgiveness. Fear, caused by the experiences of the up until now, and forgiveness, the ability to draw the line. So what you're teaching here, I think, are very timeless principles. And just the idea of just saying yes and creating a dream business and living your dream lifestyle, that's something that resonates with me. So we're right near the top of the hour. And as we know, this new book, Just Say Yes, just came out yesterday. So where can we find it?
JustSayYesBook.com. And here in launch mode, I'm giving free copies of the book, which I like to do. And it's not a digital download PDF. My team will mail you a copy of this book, and we'll actually put it in the mail within 48 hours. And it's JustSayYesBook.com. The only thing I will ask is you pay $6.95 shipping and handling. And, you know, I've got a pretty big international following. I've got clients in Australia, Canada, Newfoundland, and all over the place. It's $6.95 for you, too. It typically costs me about $25 or $30, but I don't want to complicate this. Anybody that's listening to this, if you want to get a copy of this book for free, just go to JustSayYesBook.com. And pay $6.95, and my team will mail that out to you pronto.
Right. JustSayYesBook.com. Very convenient. Very easy to get your copy now. And what I like about it is just, you know, it's a free book. You just pay the very low $6.95 shipping and handling. I love those types of opportunities. And it's, yeah, as I said, I've read the book myself 3 or 4 times. It's a fantastic read. So Jim Palmer, dream business coach, author of Just Say Yes, Create a Dream Business and Live Your Dream Lifestyle. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor and an education.
Thanks for having me on, Adam. It's always a great treat spending an hour with you.
Absolutely. For everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Dream Business. Look at that. You're so infected. I'm trying to call my radio show after your title. Okay, let's do this again. This is what I love about spontaneous marketing. This is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please tune in for our previous and our upcoming episodes where we help you win at the game of business and marketing. Until next time, have a great day. Take care. Here.